Blog Talk Radio.
All right, we're live on Blog Talk, 515-605-9327. Breaking down the powerless men of Babylon. The Bible tells us that men would be powerless at the very end, where generally children and women would be running men. But only a certain type of man, a man of the Most High, a man with values, could never fall under that power. But some of us didn't get the insight on how to navigate, you know, earlier through life, right? And because of that, as a consequence of that, some of us feel trapped due to our past era when it comes to choices, men and women. But the Most High has given us an opportunity to review this, look at our lives and say, you know what, just because certain decisions were made, I'm not going to subject myself to something against God or family that's destined to fail. If I'm going to make the decisions I'm making now will be for legacy as a child of God, someone who believes, and guess what? A man in particular, a wife must be a wife. Okay, she must fall in order. And we're talking about not men who aren't about anything. We're talking about men who are on their game, doing what they're supposed to do, family-oriented. Okay, that's what we're talking about today. And yes, we have some phone calls here, 252. Let me bring you right in. You can call in. Shalom.
Shalom, Elder. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. Yourself? Your name?
Yes, sir. I'll pray to the Most High first. And I'm very, very, very thankful for this. It's like a continuation from Wednesday night. A great topic must be continually reiterated just because it's so direly needed in so many instances. I just want to comment on how powerful women are. I mean, again, we have so much power, but again, it has to be used in a righteous manner. Examples is like King Lemuel's mother, how she was instructing him on what to look for in a good woman in Proverbs 30, and how Judith chapter 8, how she was, even though everyone is such a panic because of all the fairness and everything, she did what she had to do without disgracing herself or giving herself over to Holofernes, and actually helped deliver Israel. That's the power that we're to have of good things, not to go over men, not to be above men. And it's just crazy how here in America that it's just so backwards. I just wanted to say that. Thank you.
Well, sister, those are great points. Let me ask you, do you have a son?
I do.
How old is he?
I have two that are mine, and I have a stepson. I have a 9-year-old, an 8-year-old, and a 23-year-old stepson.
Okay. And I'm sure you and your husband is directing them on how to choose wisely.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Because let me tell you, I'll tell you right now, it's tough pickings with what the world has done a job on all of us, right? But with the attentions, Instagram and everything else, it's so hard for young men to actually find a woman who will be into him on his program. And I just hope that you and your husband, you know, have had the conversations with them to understand how to pick when that time arises, right? So, all right. He's at a key point in his life right now, but how his life will go depends on what woman he chooses, you know, he chooses to build with. And he have to choose more than just seeing her body. Some of us, we've relegated ourselves to a degree, sister, where and that is stifling women to some degree. Because the world have told them, and men have had them believe that only thing they need to do is be pretty, and have a good body to get through life. And that's erroneous thinking, because what? Time has an effect on everyone. And if you don't have any substance outside of your face and your body, at the end, you lose at the end of this. Because if that's all a man sees in a woman, he's not going to value anything outside of that when it comes to what? When it comes to you aging out of that time period, aging out of the height of your beauty. And now this is why women are so shocked and are confused right now, because no one have warned them how to navigate when their body and face isn't cutting. Right? Thank you.
Now,
I appreciate
the,
you.
In the village.
Boy, okay, you have
sorry,
the last
go
one.
Ahead. Oh, okay.
No, you
so
have the last
in
one.
I grew up in Kenya, and in the village that I stayed in, we had a teacher, handsome teacher. And one day his wife came to our school, and we thought that she wasn't all too pretty. And then we found out later on that there was another woman that could have potentially have been his wife. She was very pretty and everything. And so we asked the teacher, you know, it was a festival, there was a marriage, and we asked the teacher, you know, why did you pick this wife and not the other lady? She's pretty. And he said, yeah, there's a lot more to this. The pretty looks and everything. He said she might not be very pretty, but she has all the qualities that is needed to raise up and be in a good village and to educate the children that are coming into the future. While the other lady was shame goth, and we never heard from that lady again. I just thought I would share that, because that's what I tell my children, of things, looking for the qualities and not the outward opinion, and not but the outward aesthetics.
Yeah, and let me tell you, I've seen it on the flip side too, not just with men. I see where women grew up, right, weren't getting the attention, right? And I was growing up at a time where it was this dark skin, light skin thing. It doesn't matter how your structure, your face was, or whatever the case is. If you're light skin, you automatically, to some degree, there was a preference. I never really understood that. I always thought that the darker skinned women were the more beautiful women. All my life, I thought that. But, in reverse, the ones that, even the women that we deemed growing up were ugly ducklings. Like, usually men started flocking after the women who were filled out and didn't have to work out, right? Because their bodies automatically begin to sprout, you know, for fertility. Automatically, their shape, they begin to fill out body-wise before men, actually. They peak early, right? They peak early, men peak late, but women begin to decline earlier while men increase. But I'm going to tell you this. What happened was there's a lot of women that men deemed were ugly ducklings, but they stayed in shape or skinny and weren't getting any of attention in junior high or high. And then you look 20, 25, when she get 28, 25 years old, you're like, man, what were we looking at? Right? And you look at her compared to who you thought was beautiful. And I'm saying that is because America, Babylon in itself, is a very shallow place. And it's an instant gratification type of place that we tend to lose the beauty in people and tend to not understand their value until it's too late. And that happens on either side.
Mm-hmm.
But thank you, sister. I appreciate that. I appreciate your call. 757 area code. Is this Andre?
Yes, sir. Shalom, Elder. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing well. I just couldn't let that Wednesday broadcast go. It's been on my mind since I spoke with those brothers. So, but anyway,
man, listen,
go ahead.
I'm gonna tell you, Elder. All praises to the Most High that you decided to do that, because and I won't give much detail, but one of those brothers I spoke to a lot after church, and I'm grateful he was able to call in and share that with you, because you gave wisdom today, Elder, that I think a lot of us brothers in truth need to hear, and it held us accountable. You know, there's a standard that we allow ourselves to, everything you explained with the Instagram, like not separating the differences between the women that we chase after in our younger years being immature versus the women that we marry. And there's a standard that we allow ourselves to still follow coming in truth, because we are so-called transformed by the renewing of our mind. but we never transformed our standards. And I appreciate how through this broadcast you've now held us accountable, because what you've now let us know is there's a transformation of standards that has to take place along with your mindset. And there's a transformation of communication that also has to take place when you put yourself in these situations. And it's just the raw realization of the society that we're in, but it's also the raw reality of bad decisions that we have to live out as men. So I'm thankful for this broadcast, because being a brother who isn't married yet, it's a warning for even me. Like, don't walk in with these standards.
Yeah.
The same way the scripture says a daughter will abuse herself with too much liberty, your wife will do the same thing if you don't train her up properly. And I don't mean that in a negative way. If you don't let her know what the biblical standard is for your household, and you stand on that. So I appreciate this as a brother who was on that path, because now I'm held accountable. There's nothing else I can do but refer back to this now. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. It's just like the Most High with us, right? He has a limit, right? Right. He gives us liberty to operate, but we know there's a line that can't get crossed.
Yes, sir.
Right?
Exactly.
And men have to set that line. Period.
Mm.
You have to set that line.
Yes, sir.
You're respectful, you're loving, you're caring, you're everything the Most High said be to your wife. But you are not to be disrespected.
Absolutely.
And she must know that. That should stay in the back of her mind at all times. That there's consequences for disrespect at all times.
And something you said, Elder, that resonated with me was when you talked about the value of when you make yourself a valuable man physically, mentally, spiritually, financially, et cetera, when you get started on this at an age where you have time, that by the time you peak out, you're at those levels, you make yourself more feared and respected. And when you broke that down, it resonated with me, because I think about it. It's not, and I don't say this in a negative way, it's not our so-called love of the word or whatever that keeps us on the path. It's the fear of the Most High that keeps us on the straight and narrow. We are scared of judgment. I don't want to be. I want to be in a number. You know what I'm saying? It's the fear of the Most High is the beginning of wisdom. And I think that those a good wife, it's a fear of not of losing that good man that keeps her on that straight and narrow. And that's a healthy fear. I don't see that as a bad thing.
Exactly. Exactly, my brother. I appreciate it. And I'll tell you, when you do get a wife, hey, she's going to have a blessing. I'll tell you that. You are a good-hearted man. And you understand your value and understand that, and I know a woman that you choose will understand who you are and what you bring to the table as far as value concerned. And it's about appreciation, right? So I pray that the Most High send your equal in virtue. All right.
All
thank
praises.
You.
Yes, sir. Thank
my
you.
Brother. All right.
Bless
Shalom.
You.
Bless you. 404 area code.
Hey, Shalom, yes. Elder. Had a quick question. A pointed message tonight, by the way, as always. Quick question, though, kind of for the men, and maybe for yourself as well. If intimate intercourse were a physical impossibility within marriage, would men still desire to be married? And if the answer is yes, what are those attributes that the woman would need to have to keep the man? So that's
well,
it. I just wanted to ask question, you know, for yourself and if anyone else wants to answer that.
I can't deal with a hypothetical because on that, based on the fact that men wouldn't even, if it wasn't for the intercourse portion, the interest wouldn't be there. The Most High put it there as a law to be fruitful and multiply, where that attraction could bring forth generations. So that's an element that we can't imagine the earth or any of us being without. Now, if what you're saying is that we need to look into the value of each other outside of just the flesh, well, that's the Bible. And I think that's the mistake men make. Men make. And I believe that I believe it harms women even more so than men. And the reason why, if a woman makes a choice strictly off of lust and not focus on the long-term legacy this man provides. She loses way more than a man could, including her virtue. She loses her virtue to a man who didn't deserve it. And then on top of that, she has to take the burden of carrying a child that she doesn't even find worth in the father for. She has to carry a child that she don't even honor. She can't even carry an honorable child, right? And then on top of that, and you know, on top of that, for a woman, that's why a woman, it's up to a woman to choose right, and to listen to a man while choosing. And that's the mistake that we have here, because women, they suffer more by making that choice strictly off of lust, how he looks.
Absolutely.
Whether or not, you know, the love game is there, whatever the case might be. That's a grave mistake for women, because women in particular, different than men, you have to realize that men enter a woman, not vice versa. So when that those two flesh becomes one and they exchange with genetics, let me put it that way, she takes on the mentality of the man she connected with. So imagine if she had a child with this man and now she has thoughts and ideas and actions and even activity, you know, how she even traits of that man in her. And imagine if it's another man and another man and another man. Next thing you know, her eyes start going around and she's totally confused, because why? Women weren't meant to connect with so many men. It's psychologically, it's too much on a woman's psyche, right? So it should never be. Now, men are a little different. Women should never look at the lust part of thing, which is choose a man just because he looks a certain type of way. Man, a man, this is what attracts us to a woman in order for us to do what? To understand whether or not she has all the other attributes. So the attraction is needed for the man initially. Okay? But then he has to do more vetting, especially in the time we're living in right now. And I just wish that we had the conversation. And I listen, even a lot of people try to attack and come against Kevin Samuel and others. And I'll tell you this, it was timely for him to come and say what he's what he had to say while he was still here for that short time, that short window, because it started a conversation that, that the world was ignoring. Right? It started a conversation. Right. Our people are drowning. Our families are decimated. So at the end of the day, let's put these conversations on the table to fix and to salvage what's ever left, knowing that the floodgates are now open. You have the last word.
Well said. I was conversing with a friend of mine who's been married for 19 years, another one for 17. And I told him, I said, you know, they'll make some, you know, minor complaints in association with their wives. And I tell them, like, hey, man, you guys are good. Maybe the respect is somewhat dissipated. Work on that, because you don't want to be out here in the sexual market value market, you know, today. I don't. And I asked them a question. I said, if for whatever reason your marriage were dissolved, for whatever reason, and you were back out in a dating scene, do you think that, you know, there's a significant pool of women, you know, that virtuous women or whatever the case may be, morally sound women that, you know, could, that you would really find yourself interested in and wanting to, you know, do this marriage thing all over again? And they both said no. So I'll be honest with you. I'm not sure that the nuance of new engagements or marriages are privy today. I'm just, that's just my thought. I can be wrong on that. Now, if you're in the church, okay, that's one thing. It's word, and I don't know what you think about that.
Okay. Okay. And then what was your last piece? What did you say?
I said the, what was the last thing you heard?
The privy thing. What was that? What did you say?
Yeah, I don't, okay, just to condense it down, my personal belief is that if you're going into the dating market today, it's almost, it's almost a what's the word I'm looking for, an unachievable feat in 2023. I don't think it's the wisest thing to do.
We say unachievable feat. What's unachievable?
To find marriage, a marriageable, suitable partner.
I don't believe that. It
depends
on
where
you look.
That's why I'm asking you, you know, to kind of, you know, like,
No, I don't believe that because it depends on where you're looking. The whole thing is, if you're living
in the Western world,
if you're looking in a vacuum with the same pool of people, then that will, your perspective become a little jaded. That's what happens to any individual who's looking at a certain pool of people. When you expand it based on values, then you will realize you're not limited to your little vacuum, your little echo chamber, right? Mm-hmm. So if you deal with value, then you deal with value first, and then it extends you to look where the values are, right? Like the example I can give, like look at Elder Lawyer. When Elder Lawyer first started, when I first started teaching him at the age of 19, right?
Right.
You see how he was he's looking, you know, he had glasses on, a little nerdy, whatever the case is.
A little green wet behind the ears.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is not too many people at that age seen the value of who he was, right? But then later on down the line, as he grew into the wisdom of the word, he began to fill out the same women or people who seen him. Wouldn't have understand his value, understand what he is now. It's upon our women to try to figure out what that is early. That's what our women have to do because the pool is out there. It's just that sometimes what we like isn't what's best for us. The pool is always there. The people are there. And then, thank the Most High, we went overseas, and what Elder Lawyer did had the knowledge. He ran into a woman who had values, Zimbabwe, right? She was
overseas, though,
African.
Right?
But the whole thing is there's values that you look for that borders doesn't restrict. So all in all, what I'm saying is I believe there's women in the United States too. Because the real good women, I'm going to tell you, who are scarce, well, they get snatched up quickly, but they're on LinkedIn. They're dealing with their business. They don't have Instagram unless it's for a business scenario.
Mm-hmm.
But these are women who keep themselves anonymous on purpose, right? And they know where the circles are of men who values them. I'll be talking about that down the line, though. Let me get to the next call. Great call, Trent. Thank you, my brother.
All right, Shalom.
Shalom. All right, 484 area code.
Shalom, Elton.
How are you?
I'm blessed by the best, and his name is Ahaya.
All right, now talk to me.
You have so many great topics, and I don't even know where to start on which one to start. But I would have to say that you make great points. As an older woman now, I'm like 46. I came to the truth in 2020. And being a mom, you know, of my 13-year-old son, who his father passed away.
Sorry to hear that.
You know, I will have to say that, yeah, it's true. You know, I see how I lived my life and how I was raised and how some moral values weren't properly instilled in me and the choices that I made, you know. The mistakes I did with my two, because I have two older children. One is 26 and the other one is 22, my daughter and my son.
Okay, when you say the mistakes you made, what do you mean mistake? Expound.
My other two children have two different fathers also. You know, but my children are older and they're living their life. I try to raise them as best as I could, you know. But, like, I can see the difference between my oldest son who had, I had a more help with my family, you know, to help raise him.
Okay.
And then I see my daughter who's, she's a beautiful girl, but she has a lot of worldly views, you know, and that's my fault because I never really instilled in her the love of, you know, the love of a higher of God at that time, you know. And
what about her father? Where's her father?
We separated a long time ago when she was he doesn't even know that she was born. It was a abusive situation, and I kind of left. And then when I left, you know, I was pregnant, and I thought about terminating before, but then, you know, my mom convinced me and I kept her.
When you say abusive, how old were you? I'm sorry to hear that. How old were you?
You know, I was around 24 at the time, 23, 24.
Okay, so I'm sure it's just like anybody, and there's no excuse for abuse. But what were the circumstances that led to his rage?
Well, when we got together, I used to party a lot. We both did, you know, so there was a lot of drugs involved and drinking.
Okay, so in a nutshell, there was some jealousy involved concerning the fact that you were partying, and he was trying to restrict you from being out there like that. And if it meant listen to me all the way, just feel what I'm saying. Because in order for us to overcome and stop this abuse, we have to get to the details of what angers a person that would lead him to a point of physically trying to harm a weaker person, right? There's not to excuse that something is wrong with the man, but what drives a man to do that, you know?
True.
I'm asking.
Well, I think it was because jealousy, anger, tired of hearing your mouth all the time, nitpicking.
Okay.
I think
so.
Nagging,
sometimes it was a situation where you're older now, but sometimes you were fast with the mouth and things of that nature.
I'm not gonna lie. I'm trying to not be that way, but I am a little loud.
It still doesn't excuse a man. A man should never touch a woman. But I don't think we're living in a world where women should feel it's okay to continually provoke men, knowing that they're stronger and could actually harm them. It doesn't make any sense. For instance, it sounds like you are Latina, right? You're from South America?
Yeah, I was born here. I'm first generation.
Yeah.
But
women in Colombia don't operate like that. They don't.
I was raised American.
They don't have too much. Now we're talking though, right? Because in Colombia, there's no abuse and all like that because women understand the line and they're raised to be respectful even during the time of disagreement. They still don't lose. Not all, but what I'm saying is generally in those South American countries, there isn't that much of disrespect compared to America, right?
That is true.
Yeah.
I think generally. What happened, generally growing up, like I grew up in a dysfunctional household, you know, nothing against my parents, you know, it is what it is.
I'm sorry to hear that. Well, we all struggle through some dysfunction. That's what the curses are. You want to know what dysfunction is? Is what God said would happen to a disobedient person, but go on.
Yeah, so there's a lot of alcoholism in Latin American countries. It doesn't matter from where.
Okay.
Your Northern Kingdom, there's a lot of alcoholism. There's two parts, you know. You have the people that live a good life or raised a certain way, but they also have kind of like the same dysfunction, like as we do out here, just not as we're taught to always hide matters. So there is a lot of things that happen inwardly, but you don't show that outward to the people. You know, like you keep everything inside of the family. That's what we're taught. So even if there's abuse, if there's alcoholism, if the husband's a white beater, if your child has some type of mental illness, or even if they need help with their schooling, the parents try to hide that and not show that your child has an issue, you know? So I think that a lot of, in the culture that I was raised, there's a lot of that. There's not dealing with how to fix an issue. It's all about hiding the issues.
And
me growing up, I kind of saw that as dysfunction, and I saw myself how, like you're right, a female, depending on how you're raised, you look for someone that's like your father, you know? And for many years, I thought it was okay if a man was an alcoholic, or if he did this, or if he was a little disrespectful to you. You know, I didn't understand the fact that that's not love. And I think that growing up now, as older, with the knowledge that I have, you know, I know everything what not to do now, you know, but I think that it's a good thing that you're bringing out these topics and bringing them out to speak to people, because it's actually helped me a lot, I can say, to be able to reflect in my life, and instead of acting like the victim and trying to always make excuses, because I think that that's a problem that a lot of us women have. When things don't go our way or things go bad, we always put the blame on other people. Not all women. I'm not saying all women. But it's been a very hard journey for me.
Yeah, I'm glad through these conversations that there's ownership, right?
Yes.
That usually that's where healing begins, because there's ownership, right? So it's all good. We've all made mistakes coming up. We all were there was some level of dysfunction, but the Most High carried us to this point using his word to self-reflect, look back at the curses, look at the errors of our forefathers, even before our immediate parents, right? To now instruct this generation.
Con.
Right. And as long as we're in denial, as long as we're trying to put it on other people, the next generation will never get the wisdom to overcome the curses that affected us. So, hey,
exactly.
Even this conversation with you and I, this is groundbreaking. Because I very rarely heard even a woman, and it's because immediately it's abuse. It comes out. You rarely hear women who will come and say, well, okay, yeah, he was abusive, but I had a hand in triggering this man to a degree where it moved them out of the spirit. And the fact that you actually admitted that, right? Because, I mean, every relationship have disagreements, right? And like the conversations I've had, even in my relationship, whatever the case might be, I would make examples. And the examples I would make is that women don't know when they are abusing men, because they don't do it.
That's true.
The only reaction a man has physically is to react physically, because that's how a man is. But that's after taking years of abuse from a woman. It's not equal, but the weapon that the woman can use with her mouth can be seriously damaging, because what a physical hit can heal, and it'll be like it never existed before. But when you cut a man down through your words, that goes beyond, even if you and him no longer is together. That abuse isn't quantified, and no one talk about the power of a woman's mouth. And usually there's a reaction from a man who only know, if a man don't have the wisdom to know not to step into the carnality. The only way men who don't have that understanding, the only way they know how to react is physically. But guess what? That portion is never discussed. How men live years under abuse of a woman who has a mouth tearing them down. Right? So I like to compare that and say, okay, you know, I'm not a man who would ever hit a woman. Ever. But I also make it the example I can give a woman is, what if how you're talking to me, outside of you being a woman, what you just said to me, if a man said that to me, what do you think would be happening right now?
You're right.
and that's where a woman can reflect and realize that what she's doing is abusive.
Yeah, because
two men understand. Men understand that there's a what? There's a threshold. There's a line that any of us can't cross, or we're in the streets getting it in. We fight. So men have that in the back of our mind when we're interacting. Women violate that line. But I digress. Thank you. All right.
No,
all
thank
right.
you.
Hello.
Right.
So I'm glad we're having this conversation so that sisters can understand that never speak to a man. Never speak to a man in a way in which if it was another man speaking to that man, it would turn out violent. Think about what you say, right? Think about if I said this and if I was a man, how would it turn out? Do that. That's a good exercise. Right? Because then we'll hear less of any confusion when it comes to violence, abuse, or anything else because we're thinking before acting. Right? Next call, I'm going to take a few more. 412 area code.
Shalom, Elder.
How are you doing, Shalom?
Good. How are you?
I'm blessed by the Almighty. Yourself?
Same here.
Your name?
Sharita.
How you doing, Sharita?
Good. So my question is coming from Blog Talk as well, and that was just what the previous sister said. It was on point. So my question is, how does the daughter of Zion talk to a man that isn't within GCC? But he wants to learn. How do I, without suffering authority over him, how do I get him to understand the knowledge of the true mission of Yeshaya?
Okay. Now see, that's a tough dynamic. Like, there's different dynamics for men than it is for women, right? Like, for instance, let me give you an example. There's different instances. Sometimes women get frustrated, especially with teachers and others, because what they want is a man. They get frustrated with men when men are saying what women should do, right? They get frustrated if we're not able to help. Listen to me clearly. They get frustrated because women want us to change the man they chose.
Mm-hmm.
That's the frustrating part about it. Right? You want us, it's like, I'm going to choose a certain character that I know isn't fully satisfied, and I want someone else to be able to indirectly change him for me. That's a tough sell, right? Why? And I'm going to show you why that's a tough sell, right? In order to receive the knowledge of the Almighty, that's a personal calling.
Okay.
And this is why you're on the phone today. He has to be convicted with the Almighty in order to humble himself to receive any knowledge, any understanding. Something has to click in him.
Okay.
So I think the frustrating thing about women, sisters in particular, in instances, and it happens with men too, but I'm just using you as an example since you called in. Is women get frustrated when we talk about what's going on in the world, and now really what women are saying is, I want the knowledge of how to change my man. Right? And that'll frustrate you. You know, it's not I want to choose the man that's convicted and follow the Most High. Right? I want a different man than the man I have, right? So what I'm saying, sister, is that's a tough deal because you are called to submit to him regardless of whether or not he believed in the Bible.
Okay.
That's a tough deal. So the only way you can win him, right, I'm gonna show you, and it still has to be the will of the Almighty, right? But I'm going to show you something. You have your Bible there?
Huh.
All right, I'm going to show you something, and it's going to take patience. It's going to take a lot of patience.
Okay.
All right, let me show you. One second. Pull this up. Because why? It's tough when you have a believing wife and an unbelieving husband. That's a tough deal. And I'm going to tell you why. Number one is men are very territorial. And the last thing a man wants in his life is to hear his wife seeking to make a change in his home through another man's directive. That's a tough deal for a man. It's like, well, hold up. This is my house. My name is on this place. I pay the bills. I put food on the table. And here it is. You're telling me that I got to follow what some guy is telling you that who's directing you from the internet? So there's a wall up there strictly on those points alone, on those factors, right?
Okay. Sorry.
But so you're going to have to do it a different type of way. Let me show you how you have to do it, okay?
Cool.
The Bible tells us, right? Let me get it. 1 Corinthians 7 and 13. And the woman which hath an husband that believeth not, right? And if he be pleased to dwell with her, because he still loves you, he want to be with you, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let her not leave him. That's number one.
Mm-hmm.
Right? For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife. So even in his unbelief, the Most High is excusing a lot of his behavior and cleansing him through your prayer. And one of your prayers mm-hmm. are to one day have the Most High have him see as you see, right? For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Else were your children unclean, but now they are also cleansed or holy. Right? So the whole deal is you must show forth an example while still living under his obedience. That means, in a nutshell, your husband is beginning to understand the benefit of your transformation because it's what? It's showing in the home. You're more compliant. You're more obedient. The food tastes better, right? I mean, now he's seeing your newfound finding. He's looking at that as an asset for his home. Not as what? Not as competition against his home. So this is not going to happen through you saying, well, I've seen a video, and this is what he's saying, and now, husband, you have to make a change because this is what he's saying. Nah, that's the wrong way to go about it. You're going to have to become more agreeable, more compliant, more submissive so that he can see the benefit that comes with this truth in you. That's the only way he's going to believe what you're learning is correct, how it transfers to benefiting him.
Hmm.
And guess what? I've seen it happen. I've seen men initially totally not on board with what this is based on the fact that his woman was trying to bring changes you know, from over his head. He felt disrespected. But I've seen women use humility, their love, being more agreeable. And then when the husband asks, well, where's all this coming from? This is what I'm learning. I've learned through the God that I serve, a higher, to be more submissive, to be more helpful, to be more loving. Now he's secretly checking out the videos in your absence. So, hey, and guess what? That's nothing new for you, for you as a woman. This is how women get men to do anything they want them to do anyway. Use your same tools you use to get them. Okay? It's going to be your actions in the Bible that convert him. Okay. All right? You have to be patient with it. All right?
All right, Elder.
I know what you're thinking. What you're thinking is, Elder, you don't know my man. You don't know him. But guess what? The Most High know him. Try it. I'm telling you. It works. All right? All right. Shalom.
Shalom.
Shalom, sister. 585 area code.
Shalom, Elder. All praises to the Most High.
Shalom.
Hiya.
Yeah, how are
my
you?
Name is Jacqueline, Sister Jacqueline from the Syracuse Body Upstate.
And bless you. How are you?
I am blessed, Elder.
Okay.
This subject about our young men has been on my mind, and I've been praying for them for the longest. And I thank God that you are now, you know, speaking on this subject. I'm a mother of seven. Six girls, one son. And I truly believe that my son is now 29, and it, to me, it takes a strong woman that fears the Most High to raise that young man to be, that woman has to be that example for them to choose that woman. That will respect them and honor them and be submissive to them.
Mm-hmm.
I showed that in front of my children, and he has chosen a woman that fits that, you know, that description, and they've been together for 10 years.
They're all not praises married, be to the Most High.
But they're together. My heart goes out to these young men that their heart is, they're broken by these women. And it makes me cry. My heart aches for them. We're kind of, you know, we have to learn, like you said, we got to know what we're dealing with. If we don't know what we're dealing with, how are we going to learn how to live with them? And all I can say for the men is seek the Most High, fall in love with the Most High, and he will allow these women, if that is what you're seeking, they will gravitate to you as long as you have that within yourself.
That's
and,
true.
So be patient with the Most High. Just because you get baptized, you're saved, he's not going to send you a woman. Some do. But if you take time and just focus on your salvation and your walk with the Most High, and he will allow somebody in your path for you to choose.
That's very true.
There are a lot of single women out here that are submissive and want that love, but we are within the church. And you can't have that if it's not within the church, and we're not serving, and we have to be serving the Most High. So,
yeah,
there are, I was listening to the the previous guy that there's no, there are good women out here. There are good women in the United States. You have to see God first, and you will see them. Your eyes will begin to open. Yeah, they will be open if you live that life of the Most High and walk in His steps.
Well, thank you, sister. And I thank the Most High that your son has found a blessed woman who appreciates his value. But that also speaks to his upbringing. So thank you for instilling those traditional values, him and his father. That's needed. Thank you. It's needed. Well, thank you, sister.
Yes, all good. All praises.
All right. All praises. Have a blessed Sabbath. Yes. 650 area code. 650.
Shalom, Elder. My name's Anita, and I'm calling from California. I have listening to your program and been a part of the academy for almost 2 years, so I guess it's like my eighth academy.
Thank you.
I wanted to piggyback on not the last caller, but the caller before last, about the husband.
Yeah.
So just to kind of make a long story short, my husband and I, we separated for about a year and some months. And I've always listened to your broadcast, but what you said is actually true. So what I did during the separation, I prayed, because I love my husband, that God restore our marriage, which he did. But I had to, I didn't think I was bad, but none of us do. But I had to realize, you know, this is, he's a man of God. This is, you know, like you said, God, the order, man, I mean, God, man, and then the wife and so on. So what I prayed that there were trigger points, and I needed to be aware of those trigger points. And when frustration comes into the household with both parties, I need to be the one to step back, bridle my tongue, and pray that God intervenes and fix him. He's coming in the door. I don't want to really speak on it, but I just wanted to touch upon a point that what you said to the woman, you have said it before. I have exercised it, and it works.
Praise the Most High. I mean, it's not easy because, hey, let me tell you, we're not perfect. Sometimes we trigger. Sometimes we cause all types of issues. So I'm not saying that this is an easy, a simple task for women who are emotionally driven, right? But that discipline
Right. So a lot of times as women, we just say, okay, and then you go and you pray for that man. And he has turned around. He's a part of the academy. I sponsored him. And we study together. He has the utmost respect for you guys, you elder lawyer. And we're learning a lot. And I just wanted to piggyback based on my experience. You are on the money. And God bless you, or a higher bless you.
Thank you, sister. I really appreciate you to calling in with that testimony. Bless you.
Okay. Okay. Right. Have a good day. Bye-bye.
Thank you. You see how the Most High does it? And then guess what? When she was listening to this, it's how the Most High work in the spirit. She had no idea that she would have to bring that testimony. Why? She had no idea that someone was going to call in with the same circumstance. But this is the Most High working through the body to bring results. Right? So not only did a person call in with an issue, a sister called in to say, listen, I had that same issue, and the Bible works. Submission works. Okay? And that's the one tool, that's the one tool, believe it or not, that's the one thing Satan don't like. Satan hates women who submit to men. That's why he introduced the fruit to eat. So that Eve can have the authority over the man who was made to judge him. And it's a humbling thing. But let me tell you, brothers, sisters, Men submit to you all the time. I mean, not in the fashion that we're talking about biblically, but men, don't think somebody come through a door threatening my family. I know that there's a chance I'm going to die defending my family. But you know what? Hey, she don't have to get up. She can be assured that listen, if someone comes through that door to threaten us, I'll die defending you. If that's not a form of submission, I don't know what is. And I believe that sisters should value that. Let me tell you, there's no greater love. That's what Christ is talking about, Christ, for a man to lay down his life for his friends. So if that's expected and you're expecting us to submit even to the grave, the least you can do is swallow a little pride when it comes to a point for an argument. All right? 585 area code.
I'm sorry, Elder. I already spoke. I forgot to hang up.
Okay, it's okay. Thank you. All right. Well, I think that concludes our broadcast for this week. I had to really go into it, and I had to go into it when it comes to this particular topic, how the Western world have created powerless men, knowing that Judah and the Israelites would wake up at the very end, and through the spirit of the awakening, we would begin to take power. Well, guess what? We can't take down the nations and others if we can't put our own homes under subjection. See, and the enemy, hey, they'll use whoever they can to stifle the men from ever achieving prophecy. And that's the point. And women, you have to be that support for that man. Because eventually what's going to happen, if you're used as a battering ram by the societies or the system against your own prophecy, or you become a stumble being thrown in the way to trip the man because the enemy emboldened you and financed you to do so, understand that you're only destroying yourself. Yes, we should have focus on the protection of women and making sure that women have the right, instances of protection and guidance in place when it comes to what women need. I understand that. But through all of that focusing on women, we have forgotten the men. The young boys are suffering. And all of this is everything is being placed in women, which is backward. You invest in the men, and now the women have what? That's right, a whole generation of men with value to protect them, that they can be proud of. But if you just invest in one side, you'll have what? You have the women doing okay, and now they're suffering in the future because there's no good men they can value. And now the Most High is bringing the balance. Men, accept nothing less than the value the Most High have in you. It's your time. It's your turn. Value yourself. You are the Prince of God, Yahshua Allah. With that, I'm going to say shalom. May the Most High be with you. Stay prayed up, sin not. I have to get ready, beginning to do a study going into tomorrow's Sabbath lesson. And keep in mind the Most High is calling back Israel, and thank you for being loyal Patreon members. Shalom.